Our gospel for this day is the last few verses of the gospel, the 10th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, the whole 10th chapter starts off with, Jesus, calls Matthew to the tax collector to be one of his disciples. There's the whole controversy about over who, oh my gosh, he's eating with sinners and tax collectors, about him desiring mercy, not sacrifice. And then him calling his disciples and sending them out with the message of the kingdom is near and peace. And then the response that everything that happened and all the different struggles and the fact that it's not going to be easy and wonderful, that even families will be pitted against each other. And he closed the statements just before this with, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And he closes with this. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I was at an event once in Wisconsin, and one of the other churches were handing out bottles of cold water. And I said, thank you, you surely will not lose your reward. And the person looked at me blankly. I was like, Matthew? No, I'm Tim. Okay. Well, hospitality is a big thing. How you receive, how you welcome, how you provide for. All these things are happening. Now, sometimes we have whole industries out of it. I have a classmate of mine from seminary decided to help improve her financial portfolio, and she's actually created this whole line of ready-to-eat, like banana splits and, fudge, things like that. And I'm like, where'd you even get the idea for this? She said, I went to Sunday school. Now, everyone keeps saying that Jesus is coming, and supposedly there's been increased sightings of Jesus, but at Japanese restaurants. Seems odd, but I guess it's true that Jesus loves me so. And for the Germans in the room, a German walked into a bar and ordered a martini. The bartender said, dry? He replied, nein, danke, I only want one. Just remember, dry means three. And in Germany, you count this way. Okay, but hospitality is an industry. We have a whole industry about it. We have whole kinds of situations, from hotels and food and everything else like that. It's a whole industry. But hospitality 2,000 years ago wasn't an industry. 2,000 years ago was something that was demanded. It was a mark of how you acted in a civil society. You got a whole lot of shame or a whole lot of honor based on your hospitality, how you gave it, and who you gave it to. Because if you welcomed in somebody who was of high status, it reflected well on you, especially if you showed good hospitality. It was a way of getting social standing. But social standing was also kind of passed on. Jesus sent his disciples out ahead of him, as many personages would do of high status. Sometimes the personage wouldn't even go to the place, but their messenger or whatever would go. And the honor and respect and hospitality you showed to the person in the name of the king or whomever was a reflection of you showing honor and respect to the king or whomever it was. Which is why, when Jesus talks about the fact, welcomes a prophet, they get a prophet's, in the name of a prophet, they get a prophet's reward, righteous person in the name, okay? And here because it carried over. Someone else in that name, that person was in that person's stead. They were their ambassador. They were their spokesperson. They were that person in this place. And you were expected to treat them that way. The transitive property you learned in math applies to social circumstances, especially in this one. Because you might go, but this is just a slave. Yes, but if it's the king's slave, you better treat that person with a high level of respect and hospitality, because they aren't the king's slave. They're the king. You didn't bow and scrape and treat them and call them your majesty, just for the record. But it was very important. Which is why Jesus got into so much trouble when he would welcome around his dining room table those people. You eat with sinners and tax collectors? Oh, what will the neighbors say? Because hospitality was a requirement. However, who you brought into your house was a sign of what kind of a person you were. And Jesus has just sent out his disciples, and they're coming back, and he's teaching them all of these different things. And he's telling them, he told them, you're going to have to go and rely on hospitality. Remember? Don't take any extra money. Don't take extra clothes. You go. He's teaching them to rely on hospitality, to trust. But remember the message that they're supposed to bring. The kingdom of God is near, and peace. The kingdom is near. The household. He's calling these disciples to go out to show to receive hospitality and to show it. And whoever offers a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, they shall not lose their reward. That's it. Pastor. So if they accept this person in the name of a disciple, that means they accept you, and that means they have chosen you as their Lord and Savior, and that's why they don't lose their reward. It's a bit of a stretch. Oh, but if they reject it, then they reject the teaching, and then you... Sometimes a cup of cold water is a cup of cold water. But is the point the belief, the point the social construct, the point the nicety of social mores and norms? Or is the point that there was somebody in front of you who is thirsty and you gave him a cup of water? See a need, fill a need. Jesus at the end, one of the last parables he uses in the Gospel of Matthew, he talks about when he does come again, and he separates out the world and sheep and goats. And the difference is, well, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick or in prison, you came and visited me. Lord, when did we see you sick or hungry or naked or whatever? Truly, I tell you, just as you did or did not do to one of the least of these, you did it to me. And whoever welcomes one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, who's in the name of Christ, truly I tell you, you shall not lose your reward. Who's welcoming who? Cup of cold water. Really? Yeah. Now we might go, that's pretty easy. Now I will say, if someone came to my house, it'd be a little more complicated because the ice maker is broken on my, on the machine, on a refrigerator. Oh, woe is me. The water still works, so I can get you at least that, but no more ice, which really annoys the heck out of one of my cats who loves to play with ice cubes. Don't ask me why. But that means that someone has to come to my house. We have these manna bags that have two bottles of water in it. And you're invited to take them and to give them to anybody in need. Jenny talked about what's in them. But if you're giving them to someone, just as is, it's not cold water, especially nowadays. If you leave it in your car, you might as well give them a packet of ramen too, right? But you can do it, but then that means you have to pack a little cooler and take it out of your car, or plug it in, or one of the other things. You have to do something a little bit more than just kind of, oh, by the way, I have something. Which, ironically, is the same thing from 2,000 years ago. Because 2,000 years ago, they didn't have to worry about if their ice maker was broken. They didn't have one. In order to get cold water, you had to either draw the water, or, you know, from a time before and go find some deep, dark cave to stick it in. And even then, it's only so cold. Or you had to have a really deep well that you just had to pull out of, which meant a lot of hauling or a lot of pumping. Otherwise, there wasn't. It took a lot of work. It took some intentionality. It wasn't just, when Jesus is saying, here's a cup of cold water, he isn't just kind of going, yes, and this is kind of an oh, by the way. This sometimes is kind of like taking up a cross in a very simple way. There's something more that is required of you. Hospitality at its foundation is inviting someone into your space, into your household. In Greek, house is oikos. Your household existence is your oikomia, your economy. You're inviting them in the midst of how you are and how you operate and how you exist. And there's intentional decisions and intentional actions that happen with it. We're called to receive hospitality from God, receive grace. And we're called to intentionally go out and do something with it. Because the kingdom is near. Grace is. And it's a sign of what we've received when we share it. But it's also a sign for us when we receive it. Because I'm sure we've all had those experiences in life where someone showed hospitality to you and how that made a difference. Again, we have these industries that kind of makes those situations not happen as much. But we've all experienced it one way or another. And we're called to share it. And the fact is, if we take that gospel parable at the end of Matthew at face value, just as you've done it or not done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And truly I tell you, if you were given a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who bear the name of a disciple, you would not lose your reward. This is a reminder that I'm in the household, that I've been invited into this household, and they are too. And Jesus gathers us all around a table and says, you're mine. This is for you. And in baptism, he claims us into that family. And so I invite you to remind yourself of that right now. These promises God gave you in baptism. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. Fellow siblings of God, your ambassadors, messengers of good news, angels. I don't often hear that described of some of you, do you? But you are. And you're invited to receive and take this gift of grace out with you just as much as you're invited to be welcomed into that grace elsewhere. The kingdom is near. May it be a cup of cold water. May it be something more. May it be something simpler. But may you see and receive and share that grace in the love of God that brings peace, that reminds us all that the kingdom truly is near. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.